Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation with Angela Stanley, something I've been wanting to do for a while. The piece she wrote in the New York Times and Root is just powerful writing. She's a research associate at the Kirwan Institute and contributor to Race Talk, which is race-talk.org, a writer on race and gender whose work has appeared in many journals. And Angela Stanley, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
You wrote some very important things because I think that, you know, when I read what has been written by others, let's say by Ralph Richard Banks, who wrote that book, Is Marriage for White People?
Yes.
Saying that black women don't get married and that black women need to start looking for intellectual equals, so to speak, among white, Asian, and Latino men.
Right.
And then you took a bit of umbrage at that.
I did, and it's not at all saying that there's anything wrong with interracial dating if that's what you want to do.
No, that's why I was not implying that, no.
Yeah. But, you know, I just think it's interesting that all of these articles have been coming out lately, really making it sound like black women are all single, all very desperate, and that's just not the case.
And let's go through that, because that is the mythology. That is the belief in America. And what you do, because people talk about this, 70.5% of black women in America have never been married.
Right.
But you tear a hole in that. Tear that hole.
That's the number I keep hearing. And because I study race and gender, people are sending me articles left and right about, you know, how I'm never going to get married because I'm black and female. So that's really exciting to look forward to every day. So when I was asked to write about this topic, I started with that number, that 70% number, and I found out that, you know, it is true that 70% of black women are single, but it's black women between the ages of 25 and 29. In reality, the majority of black women end up getting married. By the time women are ages 55 and over, it's something like only 13% of black women have never been married. So it really is a myth.
This is really those two numbers you just spoke about, to me, are very critical to think about. I mean, that 13%, only 13% of black women have never been married, 55 years and above.
Right.
So what do you think is going on in the psychology of America, in the psychology of people who write about marriage, that they keep people, that all we ever hear is about the disaster of African American women never getting married. What do you think is the dynamic here that's going on?
I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of things have changed in recent years. So we're at a time that we've never been in before, where there are more single people than married, and that's across the board.
That's across the board, correct?
Yeah. So that's not unique to black people. So I think that people are failing to take into account the reasons why people might not be getting married. So the number is bigger among 25 to 29 year olds. So women may be delaying marriage to go to school. There may be an issue of eligible partners. Maybe black men are, you know, not considered eligible until a little bit later in life. But, you know, this discussion has been largely dominated by men, and I think that's part of the problem. Women aren't talking about our own stories and the reasons why marriage might not be happening.
So who is collecting those stories, and what do women say to you, I mean, in your conversations?
Well, I think it's interesting because I keep hearing about all these single women, but the majority of my friends are married. So I never saw where all these single women were, so that's why it didn't make sense to me. I mean, definitely I have friends who are really eager to meet someone, and I have friends who have met people. So I just think it's, you know, a waiting game like anyone else. I think finding a quality partner is challenging for most folks.
So, but what underlies for you, and there's a lot of theories about this, and people have, and we can go through some of them, about why it is that African-American women, black women in America, marry later on average than other folks.
Yeah, I think it might have to do with some income and education issues. A lot of times black women and black men aren't in the same place at the same time. If you've got more black women on college campuses and men aren't, you know, there aren't opportunities for black men and black women to meet and to get together. And, you know, I think that maybe those things just kind of happen a little bit later in life for folks.
Now, folks, I know it's confusing with the fund drive. We all have the same number, but it all means the same thing. We'd love to hear your own experience about that, because I think that this question of gender, this question of what we think of black women, of the stereotypes and the world built around that, about non-marrying, your own experience, your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own observations at 410-319-8888. Yeah, because I think that is one of the things that you say in your article. It talks about the negative stereotyping of black women
right.
in America.
Right.
Did you think? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, if you're someone who's really interested in pop culture and you see the images of black women that are being being put out there, it would make it easy for other folks to understand why black women might not be the most attractive partners. You know, if we're always stereotyped as, you know, being emasculating or being domineering or whatever negative stereotypes there are, you could see why that might not be appealing to people.
And so, but it's still being pushed. And, you know, one of the things I really think about a great deal with all this is why it's being pushed so hard. I mean, you know, what is it that's going on that allows the kind of the preponderance of opinion being maybe not as extreme as Ralph Richard Banks, mm-hmm. but being a stereotype about black women don't want to be married, or they don't want to be married to black men, or that marriage can't be trusted. I want to do it on my own. Because that is what the movies tell us.
It is, and it's really easy for scripts to be created, and people. It's hard for folks to break away from those things. So if you have black women always being portrayed as this one-dimensional monolith, then it's really hard for people to see anything else beyond that, especially when it's what's popular in music, it's popular in movies, and, you know, it's the narrative that's selling books right now, and it's selling movies. So I think people are going to stick with it as long as folks are buying into it.
So what do you think has to be done for a woman's narrative to really be told?
I really think women need to be more involved in these conversations. Most of the books about this topic are dominated by men, so when you hear about, you know, the quote-unquote marriage crisis, you do think of, you know, Steve Harvey and Ralph Richard Banks and, you know, T.D. Jakes is involved in this, but you really rarely hear about women talking about these issues.
And have you had conversations with T.D. Jakes and folks like Ralph Richard Banks and others in response to what they said? Have you had a chance to dialogue with men like that?
I have not. For some reason, our paths have never crossed, so I haven't had the chance to have these discussions yet, but I think it'd be really interesting to talk about this. In a groove.
I do too. I mean, I think it would be, maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great conversation.
I do too. No, I think it's an important conversation to have because we've had conversations like that before on this program built around the issues of people being single. So there's some scholars who've been looking at that at University of Maryland, black women scholars. And I think that to kind of be able to get that conversation out in a real way without screaming and yelling and listening, mm-hmm. might take us someplace.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, it's not to say that, you know, what Ralph Banks is talking about, suggesting interracial marriage or interracial dating is wrong. It's not at all. I think that, you know, everyone should be open to finding love where they can. It's just, you know, the way that it's positioned, it makes it seem like, you know, either black women are settling for something that they don't want or, you know, black women, it may not be a first choice, and it shouldn't be anything like that. Many people are in very happy interracial relationships. We shouldn't belittle them by saying black women should settle for something else besides a black man.
Let's get a couple of calls in here. And right now they're all men, which I don't like. But anyway, 410-319-8888. And you can pledge at the same time. Michael, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Mark.
Hi, Michael.
I wonder how much the adage, if the milk is free, why pay for the cow, is a factor in how many women stay unmarried for so long. If there was more emphasis on chastity and marriage as an institution versus the hip-hop lifestyle, don't you think, Mark, that more black women would get married?
Michael, we're going to let you go. We're going to have to go to another caller because we don't have much time today. We're in the middle of a fun drive, and I think that you clearly don't know a great deal about hip-hop culture, but that's okay.
What about what I asked in terms of the chastity problem?
Well, I don't think that's a religious thing for you. But
no, it isn't.
Just stop, Michael. Michael, end it.
You don't need to bring me in on this. I'm asking.
Michael, can we please pod Michael down? Thanks. And you would like to respond at all to that, Angela?
I think it's very dangerous to go around policing people's sexuality, and you know that's treading dangerous waters. I would never tell someone what they should or shouldn't do.
Let's get one last call in here before we have to go to a break. And Sabrina, you're on the air.
Hi. I want to say merge is a wonderful thing. This is my second merge, and a lot of times with women, first of all, I'm not going to just say women. People have to know what they want in order for a relationship to come to be. A lot of times we settle. A lot of women say they don't want to be married, and they be with these guys for a long period of time and say they don't want to be married. Well, if you can stay in a relationship as a friend, why not take on another responsibility of being married? I thought that my second merge is the best. Because he is my friend. And a lot of times, some of us being educated women, tend to want the cream of the crops, but some of these hardworking men are the best. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when you have a lot more education than some of the other guys, you tend to think that you're better and arrogant, and you can run around and choose whoever you want. So I'm going to say sometimes we can try to, I'm not trying to say make a man, but I, hello, am I still on here? I'm sorry.
That's right. No, you are.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to say make a man or try to, because sometimes we try to rescue people and make them who we want them to be. But if we see a good, decent man who has potential, why not give him a chance?
Okay, well, we're only pushing it just because we are almost out of time because we're in the middle of our fun drive. But, Angela, would you like to respond to Sabrina?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that a lot of, especially younger people, don't have the same templates that a lot of people did of, you know, the healthy two-parent relationship. So I think that we do have a lack of templates for people to follow. So a lot of people don't know what a healthy relationship is. So you are right on that front. But, you know, I feel like we need to figure out something to do with people who don't want to get married. There are a lot of people who are choosing to be single, and I think that that's something that no one's really figured out how to address yet in terms of how we're defining families.
We're going to take a very brief break and come back and do a very quick conversation about our station, so don't go away. Welcome back. I'm here with Angela Stanley. We're talking about the articles she has written for the New York Times, Huffington Post, and more about the mythology in America about black women not marrying. And this is, to me, what you've been writing, others are saying, is so important. I mean, because it's the mythology that kind of, this mythology seeps into the brains of not just the non-black folk population in America, but seeps into the brains of young black girls.
It really does, and if you're being told that you have a small chance of getting married, and you know, so you grew up thinking that that might not happen for you if that's what you want to do, or if you get into a relationship that's not so great and you should probably leave it, you're more likely to stay in it because you keep hearing that there may not be somebody else after that person. So, you know, it could lead to a lot of problems.
But why do you think it changes later? I mean, there are a lot of things about, you know, there are more black women in college than black men, and that so that the people argue the pool is not as deep for black women in college.
Mm-hmm.
But every black woman doesn't go to college,
right?
Right. Whereas every American go to college. So it's not just that.
It might take a little longer for people to figure out what they want in relationships, like the previous caller said. And, you know, it may take a little bit longer for, you know, men to be a little bit better off financially. Michelle Alexander talks about the mass incarceration problem.
Right.
That takes a lot of black men out of the market for a while, and that impacts your, you know, earning potential. So it may take a little bit longer for folks to get back on their feet.
And what do you think it is about when women get older that changes that? That changes that dynamic and makes a mockery of this 70% number that is bantied about by every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the media.
It could be the case that they're better off professionally, so they could be the head of the household in terms of, you know, money-making potential. It could be that they just get to know themselves a little bit more and are figuring out what they might want, and it may not be the things that they're looking for in their 20s, you know, out there in their late 30s or early 40s.
And again, the thesis I think we should talk about a bit, because clearly you're not, and you make it very clear in all your writing, you're not saying you are against interracial marriages or interracial dating. You make it clear that in almost all studies that most black women would like to find a black man.
I think most people across the board are interested in dating or marrying someone of their own race. And it's interesting that black women, if you're looking at dating websites, are more likely than other people to, you know, initiate contact with men of other races, and it's actually white men who are less likely to date outside their race, and they're less likely to respond to a black woman. So it's interesting that when you're talking about interracial dating, the pressure tends to be put on black women to consider dating out, when that same pressure isn't put on white men to consider dating other women besides white women.
That was a really interesting part of things I was reading in terms of what you were writing and other women were writing, that this growth in interracial marriages that have taken place in America, and they are, you know, more than ever mm-hmm. in the history of this country, that it is white men who do it less than anybody else. It's white men who do not look at black women on dating sites.
Right.
Other than to play with their fantasies.
Right, right. And that's a concern, too, for some people. You know, you don't want to enter a situation where, you know, that's the issue right there. But
right.
Yeah, but you just rarely ever hear about, you know, anyone saying maybe white men should be a little more open about who they're dating. And, you know, even Ralph Banks addressed that in an article that he wrote, saying that even if the vast majority of white men are disinterested in dating interracially, there's enough left over for black women to choose from. Well, that's great. You
know? The leftovers. But yeah. But no, I think that in all seriousness, because I think that this younger generation is much more apt to cross racial and ethnic lines to marry. And that's real. But I think that, again, that part of the conversation almost makes a mockery of what you're trying to get straight about the reality of people's lives, black women's lives especially.
That's true. And if a black woman is genuinely interested in only dating a black man, then you shouldn't tell her to,
right.
you know, get rid of her natural inclinations and what she wants and just, you know, settle for someone of a different race, because that's not fair to her and it's not fair to the person of another race.
Let me, we have callers calling in to pledge and callers calling in to talk. Some doing both. Let's get to somebody who's called in to ask a question at 410-319-8888. And Charisse, you're on the air.
Good evening. I actually don't really have a question. I have a quick comment,
sure.
and then I'll kind of let you hang up and discuss it a little bit. I am in a long-term relationship. I have been for, it'll be 19 years in May.
Wow.
I am not married. We are committed. It is a monogamous relationship. It's healthy. It has its ups and downs.
Don't we all?
Like any other relationship.
Right.
We have three beautiful children together, and we've simply chosen not to marry for whatever reason. We haven't seen a reason why we need to. And it kind of started with me. He proposed, you know, 15 years ago, and I said, well, let's see how this goes. And he hasn't had a problem with me not marrying him. And, you know, we've discussed it several times, and now we have a teenager who we've been able to discuss it with and say, you know, does it bother you that we're not married? He's like, no, why? And I never felt pressure in the relationship to be married. I felt pressure, of course, from friends, from family. You know, it's time, do it. And, I've been independent financially my entire life, and so that was not a reason. You know, there just was no specific reason other than society says it's the next step. And so I think we need to also look at how society has changed. Women are educated, women are financially stable. And so that's not the reason. And if you want to be committed, you can do that without necessarily having to legally do it. And what you call legally to do it. I do have another quick point I'd like to make is that I have a very close friend of the family who I like to call a serial monogamist. She's been married four times in a 15-year span. She's got two beautiful kids whom I adore, but probably about six stepchildren who she never sees, who are stepchildren of her children.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that's just a mess compared to what I'm in. I'm sorry.
Let me just turn to Angela, because we're almost out of time in this segment. I want to have a chance to kind of respond to all the things she's heard you say, which are really interesting and complex.
Yeah, and I think that's true. Like, we don't take into consideration why some women might be single. So there's this belief that women are just all desperate and trying to get married, and that's true. Some women are choosing to be single. Some women are in, you know, very successful cohabitive relationships. Some women are LGBT. So we just don't ever really explore why it is that women are single. So I think it's completely possible that women are happy being single.
And for now, we'll leave it at that. But Angela Stanley, I look forward to having you back on the air, and we can have a much more ranging conversation with some other guests for an hour.
Okay.
We really look forward to that, and maybe we can get the conversation going with some of the others who have a different point of view.
That would be great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Angela Stanley, Research Associate, Kerwin Institute. You can see her work at race-talk.org, and you can go to our website, steinershow.org, and when you get to this podcast, her... other writings will be there. So stay with us. We'll be right back.